Welcome to the Journey 8. I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and spend a few moments with us as we share some music and dialogue with you.
Thank you for joining the Journey 8. This is Ryan Duncan. Judy Hosner cannot be with us this evening. We are the Journey 8, a progressive Christian radio program. I want to thank all of you who've been regular listeners who've been praying for Judy the last couple of months. As you know, she's been rather sick and has spent a lot of time in the hospital. She entered hospice care a few days ago, and she's been declining rapidly since. So today may very well be our last Journey 8 program. And so tonight I wanted to give you the opportunity of calling in and sharing some stories of your experiences and how the program has moved you. I know that Judy is listening tonight with her partner, and any words that you would like to share would be greatly appreciated. You can phone in at 888-627-6008. But before we do that, let's go ahead and do a prayer, Whichever Way We Turn, by John Philip Newell.
Whichever way we turn, O God, there is your face. In the light of the moon and patterns of stars, in scarred mountain rifts and ancient groves, in mighty seas and creatures of the deep. Whichever way we turn, O God, there is your face. In the light of eyes we love, in the salt of tears we have tasted, in weathered countenances, east and west, in the soft skin glow of the child everywhere. Whichever way we turn, O God, there is your face. There is your face among us.
That was John Philip Newell. He's an ordained minister in the Church of Scotland. He's written several books on the topic of Celtic spirituality, and he's an author that I just really appreciate. He's written books that have been really, really meaningful to me, especially the book Listening to the Heartbeat of God. And he also does a lot of speaking engagements, so I want to make a plug for him. Now would be a good time to call, 888-627-6008. The way we're going to do tonight is I'm just going to kind of talk about the themes that the song brings up for me. The refrain of that prayer is, whichever way we turn, there is the face of God. And in times of loss and in times of trial, it's always been really helpful for me to remember that God is with me and God is near me and God is going through what I am going through. But more than that, we all are the face of God. We are the hands of God. We are the feet of God. And it's primarily through relationships and through other people that I know God exists and that God loves me and that God is with me. I know that many of you have experienced that through this program, and I would encourage you to call at 888-627-6008 to share those stories of how you've been moved by this program. We all are the face of God. And that means quite a lot if you stop and think about the ramifications of that. We are the face of God. When I look at my friends, I can see God. When I look in the eyes of a stranger, I can see God. When I look in the eyes of an enemy or someone I dislike, there still is the face of God. And more importantly, even than all of that, that God is with us in everything, we ourselves are the face of God. And when I learned that, that changed how I saw myself and my relationship with the divine. As a young man and growing up, I was not the face of God. I was told that I was an abomination, that I was something dirty and disgusting, and that God didn't make things like me, that I was not a child of God. And that stayed with me for a long time. And that changed how I saw the world and how I saw people and how I saw myself. So recognizing that you are the face of God is the most powerful thing that I can think of. And it's one of the gifts that Judy and I hope that you receive from this program, is the full knowledge and understanding that you are a child of God, that you are beloved. And with that, there comes a certain responsibility to share that love with other people. So that is the one thing that I hope that you can get from this program. That you are beloved. I can't stress that enough. And I've certainly seen that with Judy. She's been the face of God for me. And I have learned a lot from her generous spirit, and from her tenacity. I don't think people realize how sick she's been and how much she has sacrificed and fought to make this program happen. And not just her, but her partner as well. So really, this is a gift, this radio program. It's, in Sanskrit, we would call it a Gaur Prasad, a divine gift. And that's really the truth of it. It's not just a gift that Judy gives to all of us. It's a gift that God gives to us through Judy and her partner and everyone else that has supported the program. We all are made in the image of God, and there's nothing more beautiful than that. We are the face of God, and sometimes we don't act like it, and God loves us still. But we are the face of God. And when people wonder why there are so few people in the churches these days and why so many people dislike Christians, it's because we as Christians have failed to do our job to be the face of God. And so people tend to have a really wonderful relationship with God, but not with Christians or with the church. And that's because God is beautiful. And we are too. And we would do well to remember it. And our society and our country would do well if we remembered it. Because we can't be a gift to others as fully if we don't realize that we are the face of God. I'd invite you all to call in again. The number is 888-627-6008. I think we're going to go ahead and move to our next song, which is called Watch, O Watch. I really, really love the line, "Be still, my soul, and pray." And I've been doing that a lot today as I've thought about Judy and her family and what Judy means to me. And that's really where I'm at this moment. Be still and pray. And I just reflect on my time in seminary the last 3 years, where they've encouraged us to pray often, but they've given us a schedule that's so busy that we can't really pray. I'm not much of a prayer. I haven't been for a long time, because to me, prayer was always about asking God for stuff. You know, asking God to protect us or to give us more money or to help us with a job. And I didn't understand that, because if God wanted me to have those things, she'd have given it to me already. So I didn't really get the whole idea of prayer. And it further reminded me of the idea that Christians are somehow privileged and that we have a right to expect more from God than the rest of us. And so I didn't really get praying when I understood it in those terms. But when it was explained to me that praying is really about us communicating with the divine or connecting with the divine, that made more sense to me. So as I've prayed today, I've certainly prayed for God to be with Judy and her family today, and to be with me. But really, what will be, will be. It's about understanding that God has always been with me, and God is always with Judy as well, and that things are being taken care of. That God has us. And that's a really reassuring thing. And I know the obvious question then is, what do we do with suffering? Why do we have it? And shouldn't we be angry about it? Because God's obviously given us that too. And I don't know the answer to that. Suffering exists. And I'm not really sure why. I do know that without suffering, we can't know what real happiness is. Because if we're just always in a state of happiness all the time, then it just is what is. And it's not really happiness anymore. It's just there. It's just, I don't want to say it's nothing, but without the lack of happiness, we can't really experience happiness. And that's all I can really say about suffering, and that's not really the point of tonight's program. Be still and know and pray. That's important. Most of us as Christians or as spiritual people, our spiritual journey is leading us to God. We want to experience God. We want to know God. And we do that through prayer. Not prayer as in giving me things, but in an honest conversation. I don't know if you've ever yelled at God. I have, and it's a beautiful thing. Sometimes you just need to do that. And God's strong enough. She can take it. So in times like these, it's okay to be angry at God and to be upset. That's absolutely fine. God would much rather be in communication with you upset than for you to not be in communication. And I think that's really true of people as well. So prayer is a beautiful thing. And it doesn't always look like it does in church, where we might stand up and pray for 5 minutes and recite these beautiful words that mean absolutely nothing. Instead, speak from your heart. God knows your heart already. But when you speak it to her, then you're connected. And that is the spiritual journey, to be connected to God. So I give you permission to be angry, to yell and to scream and to question. And that's okay. And you shouldn't feel guilty or shameful about it, because God doesn't mind. So today has been a day for me, and I've spent a lot of time not just thinking about Judy, but thinking about the program. I know that Judy loves this program, and she loves all of you who listen deeply. She has sacrificed so much for this program to happen. And she's done that because she values what God is calling her to do, which is to share the love of God and Jesus with you, and to share with you the knowledge that you are loved, especially those that have been marginalized by the church. The church may not value you, but God does. And there are certainly other people, progressive Christians in particular, that value you. God sees you, and God knows you, and you are loved. You are cherished. And if you get nothing else from this program, know that you are loved. So I've been thinking a good bit about my relationship with God today. And I've certainly had my mystical experiences, sometimes when I'm praying, but mostly when I'm not. When I least expect it, God will reach his hand out to me and take me. So I remember before I actually became a Christian, my first experience of God that I recognized as being an experience of God. And I was at church, and it was Christmas Eve, and I was not a Christian at the time. And when I went forward to share communion, I looked deeply into the eyes of the minister, and past his eyes, I saw another set of eyes. And there was God, smiling at me and waiting for me. And when I was shocked that I actually was in the presence of God, he laughed at me and he said, "Why are you so surprised to see me when you're the one that came looking for me?" And I knew in that moment that God had been waiting for me since before my birth, patiently, and would continue to do so. And I knew that the God of judgment that I had been told existed was not the God that was in front of me, that the God in front of me was loving and kind and playful. And I knew that God would always think so. And I can't tell you how deeply that experience has changed me. And I know many of you have had similar experiences, and you may not have realized what it was. And so I invite you to really think about God in those moments you felt closest to him. Were you at church? Were you praying? I often experience God in nature through music. And in the past couple of years, very much through my friendships and through other people, I have experienced very keenly the presence of God through Judy's partner, Irene, who has supported her so very much through everything. She's cared for her when she was in poor health. She has sacrificed just as much to make this radio program happen. And through the two of them, God has worked and will continue to work. And I know that Judy was very, very anxious about what would happen to this radio program. It's her legacy, and it's important. And it's important to me. And in the future, I don't know if the Journey 8 will continue, not in this form, but I very much imagine that I will be doing something similar in the future. And I wouldn't do that if it hadn't been for Judy, because I didn't realize the power of this medium. As someone who values doing church outside of the church, I recognize that what we're doing in this moment is church. God is with us, because where there is love, there God is. And so this program and everything that Judy is a gift. And the things that I do in the future and all of the things that you who are listening will do in the future will be touched by this program and be touched by this message. And so all of us together are Judy's legacy. And that's a powerful, beautiful thing. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's really the highest praise I can say. And it's weird, as I say goodbye to my friend in this very public way, I have to say it's a learning experience. Not just for me, but I hope for all of you listening, that loss and death are just transitions into something else, and that nothing dies. Love does not die. It may change its form and change its shape into something we don't recognize, but it doesn't die. So the love that Judy has for this program and the love she has for you, I invite you to carry that with you. And that would be the greatest legacy that she could ever leave. So I think we're going to go ahead and move on to a chant called "There Is a Guardian," written by John Philip Newell and Linda Larkin. That was "There Is a Guardian," written by John Philip Newell and Linda Larkin. It's an interesting chant, and I picked it because originally our topic for this episode was going to be one of interfaith discussion. I had a friend of mine lined up who is an interfaith minister, and I picked this song because, believe it or not, the lyrics are rooted in the Quran, and people don't realize really how similar the Jewish faith and Christianity and Islam are and how interlocked they are. And I could certainly go down the rabbit hole explaining how all three of these monotheistic traditions are all related. Christians are the cousins of Jews and Muslims. We all come from the same tradition. And a lot of the people, the prophets that we value, like Abraham and Moses and Jesus and Mary, are found in all of the traditions, and they're all recognized as spiritual leaders. Many people do not realize that the Quran names Jesus more times than Muhammad. Jesus was a sacred figure for them too. And I think that if we realized how connected we were, we wouldn't be so quick to violence and to othering each other, because we are all related. And I think that that's a powerful message to share today as our country becomes more divided politically and economically, and where things are so uncertain. It's important to know, one, that we're related, and that God has all of us, that God is in all of our corners, not just America's, not just Christians. God is in all of our corners. And where there is love, there is God. And that's important to remember. So I picked this chant, "There is a Guardian," to remind us that God is with us, that God looks out for us, and God protects us. And that when we pass and when we become spirit, God is still with us and we are still protected. And like I said, I don't understand suffering. I can't explain that. We could certainly have a discussion about it, but not at this time, because it's just too long a topic. And so I would invite you all to call in. The number is 888-627-6008. I do know that Judy and her family are listening, and I do know that it's been a gift to them. And so I would encourage you to call if you've been moved by this program in any way, to call in and tell us so, because that is a special gift and it will be well received. So please call us at 888-627-6008. There is a guardian, and God and Jesus are a guardian. But so are we. We are our brother's keepers. We are our sister's keepers. Because we're all connected, we're all God, and we're all beloved. We are the answers to each other's prayers. And when we realize that, that should change everything. If I recognized that my brother was also part of God, how could I treat him any less than myself? Mm-hmm. now would be a good time for you to call in at 888-627-6008. I know that Judy and her family are listening, and they would love to hear from you about how this program has changed you and been of benefit to you. I have to say that I picked this song because at one point the program was going to be about interfaith dialogue, and this chant was written using the wisdom and the words of the Quran. And I think that if we recognize that Muslims and Jews and Christians were actually all part of the same religious family, that some of the strife we had would not exist. But the truth of the matter is, we're all cousins. That Judaism came first, and then Jesus came, and he wanted to reform Judaism, and instead Christianity was formed around Jesus. And then Islam was formed around the Prophet Muhammad around 625 AD, and he was seen to be the final prophet who would perfect the two religions that came before. And so they're separate, but they're also of the same family. People often are surprised to learn that the name of Jesus is mentioned more times than Muhammad in the Quran, that many Christian and Jewish people of note, prophets like Abraham and Jacob, are just as valued in Islam as they are in Judaism and Christianity, and in some cases more so. So we are the same family. We may not be the same, but we're all connected. And I think that that's an important lesson to remember, that we are all connected despite our differences, and that we're all beloved children of the divine. God doesn't privilege Christians as the beloved community. We're not better in the eyes of God, nor are Christians privileged in that way either. We're all beloved children of God. We're all special, and God wants the best for all of us. And I want that to be the legacy that the Journey 8 and that Reverend Judy leaves behind, is that we're all beloved, not some of us, not just us, but all of us. And that's what progressive Christianity has to say. We're all beloved. And that should be as it is. It has been a pleasure to share this time with you. As someone who values doing church outside of church, this is church. Where there is love, that is church. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being church with me.